Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
So we got a faux fight tonight on Netflix with Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. Man, that was a real fight in 1974. They called it the Rumble in the Jungle, and there was a big concert, a three-day music festival, actually, that took place with the Rumble in the Jungle. And my friend Gary Stromberg is back with us this afternoon because he helped put all that together. There's a new podcast called Rumble, the Soul of 74. Mr. Gary Stromberg, how are you? And by the way, congratulations on the World Championship of the Los Angeles Dodgers, because I know you're a huge Dodgers fan. And look, we gifted you Tommy Edman and Jack Flaherty, so you have to appreciate that from here.
Boy,
in St.
Sure
Louis.
Did. I saw he bought like a $4 million house out here yesterday.
Awesome. I love Tommy Edmonds so much. We miss him dearly. You can have Flaherty,
yeah,
but that's another
topic.
Yeah, I
don't know why
topic.
You let him go.
Well, there's a lot of things we're not really sure of, Gary, when it comes to baseball in St. Louis. But how are you? And congratulations on another podcast, because the last time we talked to you was when you were doing the Stone 72 Tour Across America, yeah, which, by the way, was awesome. I love that.
Oh, thank you, Mark. Wow, it's really nice to be with you. I'm excited, man. Tonight's going to be big time. That fight with Tyson and Jake Paul's got everybody excited, I think. And it's how ironic, it's 50 years, like almost exactly 50 years that the Rumble in the Jungle took place. You know, that it drew 60,000 people, which is what the fight tonight will draw. And over 1 billion people watched that fight.
You know, Sue and I were talking about this because, look, I was only in 1974, I was 9 years old. But, you know, in the early 1970s, mid-1970s, boxing was so big, we would even listen to it on the radio, Gary.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, boxing really, the 70s was really the golden era, I think, of boxing. There was a number of really big fights.
But you're not really talking about boxing in this podcast. You're talking about everything that happened around that fight in the music festival, right?
That's correct. Yeah, 74 was a stellar year. I mean, there were a lot of big-time events. Watergate took place in 1974 with Nixon having to resign. And, we had this big festival. The festival took place because the president, the ruler of Zaire, Mobutu, wanted to put Zaire on the map. It was a newly independent country. And so he thought by staging this grand fight, Ollie Foreman, that he would call great attention to it. And my friends Stuart Levine and Hugh Masekela came up with the idea of, well, wow, if they're going to do this big fight there, why don't we do a music festival alongside of it? So that was what was put together. And the festival, we got together some of the greatest African-American and African musicians of the time, James Brown, B.B. King, Miriam Makeba, the Spinners, the Pointer Sisters. We had just a great lineup of people that came to Africa for this festival. But unfortunately, Foreman got injured in training for the fight, and the fight was postponed.
Oh, that's why. So that was going to be my question. You walked me in. Because the festival is 3 weeks before the actual fight, right?
We were all in Africa. We were all there waiting for the fight and the festival. They were going to be concurrent. It was going to be the festival, and then the next day was going to be the fight. But because Foreman got injured, the fight was postponed, and we were already there. So nobody wanted to go back home and then come back again. I mean, it's a big trip to go back to Zaire. And there were so many arrangements that had already been previously made, and all the logistics had been, you know, in play. So we all stayed and had the festival 3 weeks before the fight, as you said.
So what were the dynamics? Because obviously you mentioned the ruler of Zaire. He plays a pinnacle point in all of this because he wants to put this on. And then all you guys come from America to try to work with him. But was that a difficult process with a guy that basically is a dictator?
It was totally crazy. It was just silly. I'll give you an example. This stadium held 60,000 people, and we expected that we would be sold out because of the talent. We had 250 American musicians and 250 African musicians for this three-day festival. So all these plans and all this, you know, setting this thing up, and then comes the first night of the festival, and we show up for the festival, and there's hardly anybody in the stands. And what happened was that we learned late, obviously, that nobody would come to an event that wasn't sanctioned by Mobutu. And Ooh. He had not given us the blessing, his blessing for the event, or at least the public didn't know that he had given us the blessing. So nobody went. They were in dire fear for their lives if they went and did something that Mobutu didn't sanction. So somebody in our group got to Mobutu that night and said, listen, here's the problem. And Mobutu the next day publicly sanctioned the event. And the second day, we were totally sold out.
So what happened then on the first day? Did artists still play? And you know, they just
weren't, yeah. We played. It just wasn't. There was hardly
nobody
anybody there. But you couldn't see it. I mean, for the purposes of filming it, there wasn't you didn't show the audience. But yeah, it was tough playing a festival of this size to a very sparse audience.
What was your specific role in all of that? Were you handling, because you represented, your agency represented a lot of the bands. I mean, we talked about the Stones were with you, but what was the specific role that you had?
I was the PR guy.
Yeah.
I was in charge of taking care of the media for the event. We brought over a number of really wonderful American journalists, Bud Schulberg, Norman Mailer, George Plimpton. These were all guys there to cover the fight, but they also wanted to, cover the festival as well. So I was in charge of a number of really outstanding writers that were there to cover the event.
So I listened. Yeah, I heard the Norman Mailer connection. That's a name from the past for sure. But I was listening to the first part. Gary, I'm on the road here for a couple hours after the show. I'm going to continue to listen to Rumble, the Soul of 74. But I did hear some of it in the setup for it. So explain what the podcast is all about and how it works.
Well, the podcast sets up in context the entire realm of what took place in 1974. This was really, if you watch 60 Minutes, it's very much like a 60 Minutes episode because we give the context of world events in 1974 and the pressures that were on and especially the emergence of black excellence in the United States. It was a critical year for the emerging black power movement and all of the efforts to create awareness of the struggle that black people in America had gone through.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So the fight was certainly a representative of a major force in sports, and the music festival was obviously a significant statement in what in the emerging black music scene looked like.
What was the role of Don King in all this? Obviously, he was promoting the fight, right? Did he have nothing to do with the music festival? What can you say?
No,
there?
He didn't have anything to do with the music festival.
Okay.
He tried to take credit for it. But
shocking.
Shocking. This was Don King's first entry into big time fight promotion. It was kind of interesting. There's a segment in one of the episodes in the podcast where the prelude to the Ali Foreman fight was George Foreman fighting who was then the champion, Joe Frazier, in Jamaica in 1973. Frazier had beaten Ali in New York in Madison Square Garden in 1971. And so he was the new champion. George Foreman was coming along. He was undefeated. And he he fought and knocked out Joe Frazier in 1973, which was the prelude and which set up the Ali Foreman fight. But the funny thing about that story was Don King was Joe Frazier's promoter. And so he drove to that fight in Jamaica in the limousine with Joe Frazier. And as the fight progressed and it looked like Frazier was getting his ass whipped, if you excuse the expression, Don King like slid over to the corner of George Foreman. And he left the fight that night in the limo with George Foreman. So he came with the champ and he left with the champ.
That's very interesting. You know, one of the things I've always recommended this movie, and it's been a little bit since I've gone back to watch it, but it was one of the best. I think it's one of the best documentaries I've ever seen, called When We Were Kings. I'm guessing you saw that, about the Rumble in the Jungle.
Won the Academy Award.
Yeah, it was really, really a great movie. And I got to go back and watch it again. But obviously, that's framed around the same story that you're talking about. One of my favorite stories that you share, I think the first time we met in person, you told me the story. I've had you repeat it on the air, but you got to share the story again. You're on this plane. I can't remember if you're leaving Zaire, James Brown. There's kind of excitement, kinds of excitement. Gary, you take it from here.
Yes, that's in the podcast as well. So we're flying up a charter flight from New York to Zaire, and it's an 18-hour flight. It's a long flight, and we had 250 musicians packed into this plane. And because it was charter, you could bring all your stuff with you onto the plane. So the plane, all the aisles are packed with instruments. There was musical stuff all over the plane, and it's totally packed. And what had been the first class section was given over to James Brown and his band because he was the headliner. And we're all crammed into the rest of the plane. And we make this long trip to the first leg of the trip was to Rome. So I don't know, like it was 8 hours or something like that to Rome. We get to Rome, everybody's exhausted. They fuel up on the tarmac, and they didn't let us off the plane because we were going to take off as soon as we had refueled. And we're sitting there, everybody's anxious, and you know, our nerves are pretty shot from all this activity. And the pilot comes on the loudspeaker and says, "Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we have a slight problem. We are way overweight on this flight, as you can imagine. And in Rome here, we have a short runway. So we've been told that based on the weight we are carrying, we won't be able to take off unless everybody in the front of the plane moves to the back of the plane." At which point, James Brown stands up and yells, "I'm the star of this MF show, and we're going to take off because I'm here." And when he said that, everybody in the plane was like, went crazy. Bill Withers, who was one of the artists on the plane, was sitting in the back. He just lost it. And I don't know where he got, but he was traveling with a knife, which he pulled out and started up the aisle with, I guess, the intention of killing James Brown. And so he had quite a confrontation between the two of them, and James Brown apparently would not move. And so the pilots took off knowing that we were warned that we were overweight, and we were scared to death. They took off because James Brown refused to move to the back of the plane or any of his band.
I love that story so much. I know you've told it a million times, but man, that is just incredible. Gary Stromberg, Rumble and the Soul of 74. Are all the episodes out right now?
No, they're just being released one a week.
Okay.
We're up to episode 6 now, but you can go back and start from the beginning. There's really some wonderful material here. I hate to brag about this, but I have a wonderful production crew that put together just a very exciting episode.
Yeah, it's very good. I'm about three quarters through the first one. One thing I would say as a compliment to you is, man, it's going to be hard to beat the Stones podcast, because that was really good, Gary. I loved every minute of that. Listen, thank you so much for coming on here again. Congratulations to your Dodgers. And we'll catch you up and talk a little horse racing soon. How does that sound?
Yeah, I was just going to say, take care of yourself,
Mark. All right, Gary, we'll see you.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.